This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد my brothers and sisters, you have been listening to a series of very excellent lectures on تزكية النفس وتربية الأخلاق by our dear brother and teacher and sheikh Dr. Muhammad Ali Hazratji, and I hope you benefited from it. Frankly, between you and me, we could have ended the class with that, because what he had to say, he said it very completely and concisely and comprehensively, and all that remains is for us to practice. At the end of the day, we have to understand and remember that Tazkiyatun Nafs is not about lectures. It's not about acquiring information. It's not about acquiring some new istilahat or new terminology. It is because Tazkiyatun Nafs is about actually practicing it, actually cleaning our hearts. Why Tazkiyah? Because Tazkiyah is to clean the mirror, and the mirror is the heart, which reflects the Tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which reflects the glory and magnificence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the mirror is not clean, then the reflection is never, it cannot be clean. The heart sees. And like these glasses, if I don't clean the glasses, then the vision is always going to be blurred and dirty. Not because there is something wrong with what I'm looking at, but there's something wrong with what I'm looking through, what I'm looking with, which is my glasses. And therefore, the heart is the eyes of the soul. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those who deny Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, لا تعمل أبصار ولكن تعمل قلوب التي في الصدور. In Surah Al-Hajj, Allah said, they are not blind because they cannot see, they are blind because their hearts are blind in the chests. Now, the first and foremost point of tazkiyah is to purify our intention. Why do I want to learn Islam? Why do I want to come to this class? Why should I, do anything at all? And if the answer is that I'm doing it for anything other than the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that has to be first cleaned. So the purity of the intention. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, which is the first hadith in both of these collections, narrated by Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that Rasulullah said, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَلُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that the worth of the deed, the benefit of the deed, the reward of the deed is based on the intention. If the intention is corrupted, if the intention is dirty, if the intention is adulterated, then the result of the deed cannot be good. The reward of the deed will not be there, because the deed is not being done with ikhlas, with sincerity, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. Al-ikhlasu niyya, the purity of the intention. This is the very first thing that we have to understand in terms of tazkiyatun nafs, in terms also of everything in our lives. Every action, we must first examine the reason why I'm doing that. If I am doing it for anything other than the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there is something wrong with the action. So make very, very sure that the action is being done only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, in that context, adab, or the etiquette of learning, people use this term etiquettes. That is not etiquette, is the plural. So adab, or etiquette of learning. Now, what is the etiquette of learning? There are four very important things. First and foremost is, as I mentioned earlier, clarify your niyyah. Al-ikhlasu niyyah. Check the niyyah to ensure that it is free from the desire to please anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that desire is there, if there's any desire for name or fame and so on, then immediately make istighfar, make tawbah, return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, repent. That is the reason why I am very dogmatic about this. I say never take money to teach Islam. Because if you're taking money, then that money always corrupts. Also, never seek fame, right? Don't seek to see how many hits you are getting on YouTube or or Facebook or whatever, get off social media anyway. Only focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think it was Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayh, or one of the ulama of the Tabi'in, he said the best person is the one who lived for the sake of Allah, who worked for the sake of Allah, and who died for the sake of Allah. Nobody knew who he was, nobody knew where he lived, nobody knew what he did, and nobody knew when he died, meaning that, you know, it was not a famous thing, he was not a famous person. He said that is the best person in the world, the most fortunate, the best person in the world. And believe me, I completely and totally agree with that. Fame and money are, as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the beautiful hadith, he said money and fame, he said these are like two wolves in a pen of sheep. They will destroy everything. In another place, he said they are like fire in a pile of dry wood. Right? They just set fire, they just burn everything off. Fame and money, the desire for fame and the desire for wealth, these are the two major problems. And these are major problems anyway, but in the pursuit of religion, the pursuit of Islam, this is absolute poison. Do everything only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for the sake of teaching Islam, do not take money, please. Find another source of revenue for yourself. Don't charge money to teach Islam. Do it free, do it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So that's the first thing, ikhlasun niyyah. Second one is to focus on learning and not anything else. Right? Don't focus on anything else. Don't worry about who is saying what and what. Nothing. Just focus only and only on learning. Ask yourself, how am I learning? Am I learning well? What is happening? What is not happening? Make sure that you are learning. For that, do whatever it is that you need to do. You know, take notes, record, repeat. The best way of learning is to repeat what you have learned. For example, if you learn something, go home and teach it to your own family, right? And then practice it. In the night, pray before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ask Allah for His help. Third one, please understand that this knowledge of tazkiyatun nafs is not about words, but about feeling, and comes with practice, not only with listening. So if you hear now, for example, if you say, if I tell you, and I will tell you that, inshallah, make tahajjud a fard on yourself. Ensure that you never ever have a day that you miss tahajjud. No matter what, whether you're traveling or whether you're at home or whatnot, this is for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not talking about the fiqh of whether tahajjud is necessary for somebody who's traveling. Of course, it is not necessary. Nothing is necessary. Three meals are not necessary. To get married is not necessary, right? Everything is done. You do it because you love to do it. You do it because Alhamdulillah, Allah has made it halal. Whatever is really, if you look at it, only the unnecessary things are nice, right? To give your wife a bouquet of flowers is not necessary. But if you give it, she will be very happy, right? So think about that. Do something for love. Do something for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is not about just simply listening, it's about practice. Whatever you hear. So I said, tahajjud, make further on yourself. Make it further on yourself. Now you start praying tahajjud and pray it with ikhlas, pray it with concentration, and then feel the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life. And number four, be patient with yourself and make dua for acceptance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for His help. It's very important. Don't be in a hurry. Don't let shaitan push you. Right? Don't lose hope. Don't despair. Don't say, feel that, oh, but you know, I've been trying to do this for so long and nothing is happening. No. You are getting reward for doing. You are getting reward for trying. Don't lose that reward by stopping. Right? Continue to try. No matter how unsuccessful you feel, you say, Alhamdulillah, my Rabb. Allah is the only one who rewards you for effort. In this world, you get paid for results, not for effort. Right? Imagine a salesman whose sales figures are pathetic, but he tells his manager, oh, but you know, sir, I walked in the sun all day and see my shirt, and you twist it as though it's pouring with sweat, right? Now, see how hard I worked, and look at my shoes, they've all worn out. The manager will say, look, I'm not interested in all this, right? How much did you sell? If you did not sell, sorry, you lose your job, or you are not a good salesman. I don't care. You sit at home and sell. I don't care. I'm not saying you necessarily have to walk on the street. If you can sell by just making a phone call, no problem. Just sell. But if you are not selling, if there are no results, there is no pay. Allah is not like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one who rewards you for the effort and does not hold you accountable for the, who rewards you for the effort and does not hold you accountable for the result. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu rewards us for the effort, right? Alhamdulillah, we should focus on the result. For example, if I am praying, I must try my best to make my salah the most beautiful salah. What is the template? What is the criterion? What is the standard? The salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now you might say, well, you know, that my salah is never ever going to become the forget about being equal to the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It won't even become, it won't even get close, right? It won't even be, it will not even be 1 millionth or 1 zillionth of the quality of the salah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why should I try? This is shaitan. The shaitan will give you and put this into your heart. And not heart into your ears. But shaitan will whisper in your ears, saying, what is the point? The standard is the standard of the salah of Rasulullah. How are you ever going to pray like that? So there's no point. Forget about praying. No. No. Allah rewards for effort. So keep that standard. Keep that standard. Keep on making the effort. Right? But make the effort. Continuously pray. Continue to pray. Pray more. Practice more. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, say, Ya Allah, please accept this prayer. Now remember, if Allah is accepting the prayer, then what is the prayer being accepted at? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's acceptance standard is the standard of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So inshallah, when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find this, your record, book of records, full of tahajjud, which is accepted, which is at the highest standard. And you will wonder, how on earth did this happen? Because I never prayed so beautifully, and I never prayed so well. So how come this thing has come to this level? This is because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So it is very important for us to be patient with ourselves. Won't happen overnight. Listen carefully, take notes, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It won't happen overnight, but keep on making the effort. Now let's talk a little more about ikhlas and the opposite of that, which is showing off or riya. Now Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziya rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, ikhlas is the tawheed of one's wish and intent. Yeah? See the beautiful beautiful quote. He said, ikhlas is the tawheed of one's wish or intent. Now what is tawheed? Tawheed is to worship only Allah. Tawheed is to purify our worship from anyone other than Allah. So what is the meaning of tawheed of the tawheed of the wish or intention? Tawheed of the intention is to purify the tawheed from everyone other than Allah. Meaning that our intention must be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Just as we worship Allah alone, we want to please Allah alone. So al-ikhlasu niyya is the tawheed of the wish or tawheed of the intention. This is Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziya rahmatullahi alayhi. Ikhlas, he said, is that the slave's inward and outward actions are equal. Riya is when the outward appearance is better than the inner self. And truthfulness in one's sincerity is when the inner self is better cultivated and more flourishing than the outward appearance. Right? So we need to have, to understand this, that congruence, we also call this congruence in the language of psychology, which is that the thought, the speech and the action must all be the same. So pretending or that's why even the Sahaba even criticized or frowned on formality. Right? They said, be sincere in everything. No need to be formal. Now, you know, good manners is good manners. But in the name of good manners, sometimes we are overly formal, and that is one form of lying. For example, you are hungry, somebody is offering you food. You say, no, it's okay. Please have some. No, it's okay. With the Sahaba, if they offered you food, you say, no, I'm not hungry, they will take it away. Because they expect you to speak the truth. Say, here's a meal, would you like to eat? No, I'm not hungry. Okay, no problem. Khalas, take it away. They won't force you. Because you said you are not hungry, we believe you. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, he was describing the qualities of the Sahaba, and one of the qualities he described was that they were never formal. They said it like it was, and they took what was said to them as it was said to them. Alright? So, it's very important for us to understand this. So, the inward and the outward must be the same. And if anything, the inward should be better than the outward. That's what we need to focus on. And that will happen only when you are focused on pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because who knows the inward? Only Allah knows. You know and Allah knows. So if you focus on that and you say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's inside me, outside world doesn't matter. I don't care about them. Let them think I'm good or bad. Makes no difference. What am I inside? Is my inside pure? Allah knows this. Let me focus on that. Then inshallah, the inside becomes very beautiful and the outward also will be good. But you don't worry about the outward because that is not your concern. Your concern is the inside. Now, some of the salaf have said that ikhlas is that you do not seek a witness over your action other than Allah and nor one who gives reward besides Him. And that's why I said don't take money for teaching deen. Take it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make this into a habit of yours to say, I will not take anything from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His work. If I am working for Allah, Allah will pay me. If I am working for GE, GE will pay me. If I am working for Microsoft, Microsoft will pay me. I'm not going to work for Microsoft and ask money from GE for my salary from GE because I'm not working for them. I'm working for Microsoft and vice versa. So if I'm working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why do I look to somebody else to pay me? Right? Let me focus on. And I always tell people, I say, if you do not even have that much of tawakkur on Allah, to say that I am working for Allah and my Rabb will feed me, if I don't even believe that, then what right do I have to teach anybody anything? Right? So let us be very clear about this. Focus only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep your intention pure. Now, on the other side of this, what is showing off our riya? Mahmud ibn al-Abid radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah said, the thing that I fear most for you is minor shirk. They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is minor shirk? He said, showing off. For Allah will say on the day when people are rewarded for their actions, go to those for whom you were showing off with your deeds in the world and see what reward you find with them. And this is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. And this is classified as Sahih. So, Riya is to look for praise and look for approval of others instead of focusing on the approval of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. My brothers and sisters, please understand this. The whole issue of Tawheed is to focus only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our worship, in seeking help, iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in, in reward for our deeds that we do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't ask anybody, we don't expect from anybody, we don't look towards anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may reward us in this dunya through various means, but that is not what we are focusing on. We are saying, Ya Allah, you reward me. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to reward you as He has done, there are cases, we know the stories from the Salafus Salihin, there are cases where people got reward from the ghaib. And alhamdulillah, we are very happy that if we get like that, who wants reward from through a means that we can see or we know, right? So let me repeat this hadith. Mahmud ibn al-Abid radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the thing that I fear the most for you is shirk khafi, shirk saghir, or shirk khafi, hidden shirk or minor shirk. They said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is minor shirk or hidden shirk? He said, showing off. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say on the day when people are rewarded for their actions, go to those from whom you were seeking the reward, for who you were showing off with your deeds, and see what reward you can get from them. And this is in, it's a hadith sahih, and it is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. It is reported from Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu that he said that the one who shows off, the one who is a riyakar, who is full of riya, who shows off, has three characteristics. He said first is he is lazy when he is by himself, right? And that's why I emphasize tahajjud so much, because tahajjud is always by yourself, right? So you're not praying tahajjud in jama'ah, you're not praying tahajjud before people. So if you pray tahajjud regularly, then inshallah this is dalil for you before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to say that you were praying tahajjud regularly. So otherwise, the person who is full of riya, this person is lazy when he is by himself. He is lively and energetic when he is with others. And he increases his actions when he is praised and decreases them when he is criticized. SubhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu with the best in Jannah and give him the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a beautiful, beautiful advice this is. He's three characteristics, right? Let us look at ourselves. The point of saying this and the reason for saying all this is not for us to look at others or criticize others. This is for us to look at ourselves and say, what is it with me? Do I fit into this? So what is it? First one, a person who is a riyakar, the person who's acting to show off to others, who has arriya, this person is lazy when he is by himself because there is no one to see, right? So when there is no one to see, he is lazy. So this person is lazy when he is by himself, but in front of other people he is very lively and energetic. So this is a very important thing to understand. And the third thing is, he's lazy by himself and energetic before others. The third thing is, he increases his actions when he is praised and decreases them when he is criticized. Now this is a very, very important and a very tough thing, because you know it is human nature. If you are praised for something, you feel encouraged, you feel happy, and you might therefore want to do something more. And I've mentioned before, appreciating somebody's good effort, this is very important, and this is very much in line with Islam. So for you to appreciate somebody, no problem, and people may appreciate you if you're doing work. But check with yourself and say, because of this appreciation, am I now doing more because of the appreciation? Meaning that if the appreciation had not come, I would not have done it. That's very dangerous. Don't do that. That's the reason why consistent effort is very important. Because if you have consistent effort, if you have a structure in your life, then it doesn't matter. People appreciate, don't appreciate. You have to, this is your output, you have to do it. You must do it well, and so you will continue to do it, inshallah. Otherwise, when people appreciate you, you work, your actions increase, effort is more, output is more. And if you are criticized, then it's your action drops. So what does it mean? It means that the action is being done for the sake of others. Another beautiful hadith narrated by reported from Ibn Masud radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Masud, that he said, do not learn knowledge for three things. Now this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, narrated by Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu anhu. He said, do not learn knowledge for three reasons. One, to amaze and confound the foolish, to look good before people who are ignorant. Number two, to argue with the fuqaha, to argue with the learned people. And three, to make people's faces turn towards you. But seek what is with Allah with your hearts and actions, since only that will remain, and whatever is besides it will go. Let me repeat that. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is reported to have said, do not learn knowledge for three things. And he is saying what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in another hadith, which I will also share with you. So he says three things. Do not learn knowledge for these three reasons. So when we come for this class or any class, when we want to learn about Islam, then let us first check, why do I want to do what? Why do I want to learn? There can be only one answer, and that answer is to practice what I learn, to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fill my heart with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are good answers. But otherwise, Ibn Mas'ud radhiyallahu anhu says, do not learn to amaze and confound the foolish people, right? To look good before ignorant people. So people who know nothing, they will say, oh, mashallah, mashallah, oh, such beautiful qiraat, and you are making all kinds of tajweed mistakes. And they say, oh, mashallah, you are an ocean of knowledge. Now he's saying ocean of knowledge because that poor guy, he doesn't even have a teaspoon of knowledge. Right? So you look like an ocean of knowledge. No, please, let us be very clear. Let us know ourselves very, very clearly. So do not learn to amaze and confound the foolish or the ignorant people. Number two, don't learn to argue with the learned. People, they read one hadith, they read one ayat, and they go and have a big argument with the sheikh. They have a big argument with the mufti. oh, but this is this year, that year. You have not studied the usul of fiqh, you have not studied usul of hadith, you do not understand what is the context of what is being said, you do not have any understanding of the asbab of the hadith, like the asbab of nuzul of the Quran, you have the asbab of the hadith, you don't know any of that, but you want to take one and you make a big song and dance about it. So this is to argue with the learned. Don't learn for this reason. And the third one is, do not learn for name and fame, which is to turn the faces of people towards you, because you want to become this great sheikh. You will say things to please other people. Whether they are right or not, you will twist and turn because you want to please other people. This is very, very dangerous. Please don't do that. But he said, seek what is with Allah. What is with Allah? Allah's Jannah is with Allah. The reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So seek what is with Allah with your hearts and actions. To focus only on pleasing Allah, because only that will remain, and whatever is besides that, whatever is other than that, will go. Now the warning from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the hadith of Ka'ab bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever seeks knowledge to impress the scholars, to argue with the foolish, or to attract the attention of people, Allah will admit him into the hellfire. Right? Whoever seeks knowledge to impress the foolish, whoever seeks knowledge to impress the foolish, argue with the scholars, or to attract the attention of people, Allah will admit him into Jahannam, into the hellfire. And this is hadith in Sunan Tirmidhi, narrated by Ka'ab ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu. Now, brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, let us be very clear in our minds that we don't want to do something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited us from doing. This class Tazkiyah, as I mentioned, is a class which is totally and completely focused only on practice. So let me give you an assignment. An assignment is let me check for myself, you check for yourself in our lives, and see which of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are we not obeying, and which of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are we not following, and then ask ourselves, how much longer do I plan to live, and how long do I plan to keep defying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Because there is no pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while disobeying Him. This is very important for us to keep in mind. How does that begin? It begins with istighfar and tawbah. Because repentance cleans the slate and more. Istighfar and tawbah. We have to start with that, and we have to understand that. Make istighfar and tawbah. The assignment, as I told you, is to check in our lives which of the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala am I disobeying, and which of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam am I not following, and then change that. And if there is any disagreement in the heart or the mind about that, then ask yourself this question and say, how much longer do I think I have to live in this world? Do I know when I am going to die? Because if I am going to live in this world as if I am going to be here forever, that I have time, I won't make istighfar now, I will continue like this, and then one day I will make istighfar, and then before that one day comes, if I drop dead, then what happens to me when I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Right? So ask ourselves this thing. For some of us, the very fundamental things we do wrong, we miss our salah. This is the salah is the pillar of deen, imaduddin, right? It's the pillar of deen. If the pillar is broken, then the building will collapse. So we have to be very clear in our minds, make sure that we never ever miss our salah for whatever reason. It doesn't matter what the reason. We don't miss our salah, no matter what, right? Be very, very clear. Second thing is eating and earning halal. Earning halal and eating halal. So, is my earning halal or not? Or do I have interest based in it? Or am I selling something which is haram? If that is haram, believe me, your charity is not accepted, your salah will be corrupted, your du'as are not accepted because you are eating and earning haram. So please don't do that. Anything which is doubtful, don't touch it. Don't go near it. Right? So focus on these two things first. Obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is no shirk, and praying salah on time. And secondly, earning and eating halal. And the third thing is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Outward sunnah in terms of the appearance and so on and so forth, so having a beard and whatnot. And inward sunnah, which is our akhlaq. Focusing on the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and saying, how can I make myself as close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as I possibly can. I am keeping these classes to 30 minutes inshallah, because we want to focus on the practice of this deen. So I don't want to dump too much of information on you. 30 minutes is plenty, and for tazkiyah and tarbiyah. And inshallah, now when you leave this class, the 10 minutes which you normally would have had, because it would be a 40 minute class, sit down and do that assessment first of all. Before you leave and go, sit down and do the assessment. Keep a notebook, as I mentioned right in the first class. Keep a notebook, take notes. And in that notebook, where am I disobeying Allah? What needs to change? Where am I leaving the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? What do I need to start doing? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for you and to accept it from you, and to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.